Good morning. It's 9:09, Tuesday, November 12th, 2013. I will call the Dallas City Council agenda meeting to order. To begin with, I'm pleased to introduce Reverend Todd Atkins of Salem Institutional Baptist Church, Miss Davis's district. He is a wonderful minister. He received his bachelor's degree from Dallas Baptist University and his master's from Southern Methodist University. He joined Salem Institutional Baptist Church, which is one of the most important and oldest churches in town, in 2010. He is married to a great violinist, Michelle, and together they have a beautiful daughter and a beautiful grandbaby for Councilman Atkins. Following that, we'll have Ms. Gates do the Pledge of Allegiance. Would you all please rise? Reverend Atkins.
So you all join me in prayer. Lord, we are grateful for this opportunity as we gather in this place of leadership and of government. We pray for our mayor and our council, as well as all the staff, as they make the decisions that affect so many. And then this time of cold and inclement weather, we pray for those who are not as fortunate as we are. Give us wisdom to make the right decision, but also make us mindful that every decision we make not only affects us, but affects your children. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Reverend Atkins, and thank you, Ms. Gates. I know you don't want me to do this, but I'm proud of working with you, Ms. Gates. Being a council person and a mayor is one thing, but saving somebody's life is something else. And we appreciate that. So thank you for your training and your courage. Yes. Ms. Rios, we'll take our morning speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You have two speakers this morning, Linda Bates and Jolene Hollins. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council, will be removed from the room. You'll notice the timer at the podium. You do have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. You may proceed.
My name is Linda Bates, 4144 Trail. I signed up to speak for contaminants, because I am a contaminated resident of West Dallas. Our community is just in flowers. People are dying. A community plagued with cancer. I beat it one time. Now it just struck me again, but God is good all the time. But I'm asking you, Mayor, could somebody set up like a review with the community at the schools or something to give up, to just see what we're going through? Our family's dying. We dying. Counseling came right back here years later. I informed y'all years ago. Y'all told me y'all didn't have nothing to do with it. William presents the papers that help the people supposed to be helping us. Nobody helping us. All they see us is in despair. We struggling. They want to cut Obamacare. All this here. All that's irrelevant when you losing your families. And the community just playing with all kinds of cancer. It's ridiculous how people in this community just sit around and just see all us by the railroad track in West Dallas just die off. We sick. I have 16 grandkids. All of them born with some kind of deformity. Not because of the contaminants. Not because of just the lead, the asbestos, the mercury. It can't just say it's lead. It wasn't just lead. We enhance all other kinds of chemicals that have this here going on with our bodies. Our kids grow up deformed. The only thing they do, they put them in some kind of mental health thing. That's not for our kids. Our kids need help. And when it come down to helping them get some kind of compensation for it, they go and pay the kids. But we the ones that had the kids, and we the ones that's going through all this cancer and all. It's just so much that's going on in our health issues in West Dallas. It's not just West Nile. West Nile ain't killing us, contaminants are. And they talking about building up West Dallas. Build us up. We need building up. We are dying. Cancer come back, you beat it once and come back again, then let you know that something is wrong. Zachary, not doing nothing. EPA is a joke. Baby, James Saginaw was one of the first people that settled the West Dallas lawsuit, then go back and go and work for the EPA. Okay, cover it up. That's what she did, covered it up. It's a whole lot of stuff that needs to be uncovered in West Dallas. And I would like for someone to please give us a fair hearing in West Dallas, the community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And thank you for calling. I will tell you that we are working with several community individuals to be able to get together. And I just want to let you know, and I'll make sure that we include you on the list. And thank you very much for coming. Appreciate it.
Your next speaker is Jerlene Hollins. Jerlene Hollins. Ms. Hollins is not present. That concludes your speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Before we go into our voting items today, we did lose somebody. And Mr. Kingston, please, would you take the microphone?
Mr. Mayor, thank you. District 14 and District 2 suffered a great loss over the weekend. Louis Konolakis passed away at 58. Those of you who have been in Dallas politics, sports, leadership, organized crime, probably all know Louis. It was a great business. But the other thing that you may not know is Louis was a District 14 resident, Belmont Addition Conservation District on Palo Pinto. He won the best house renovation award, and he raised three kids, triplets, and sent them all through the Lee Long Woodrow feeder pattern in DISD, and all three of those kids got great educations. Anyway, I appreciate the opportunity to bring that to the council's attention. It's a terrible loss for Dallas. He was a really good guy.
Okay. I agree. He was a great guy, and we appreciated his value that he added to the city into East Dallas and Lakewood area.
Thank you.
With that, let us proceed with our voting agendas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your first item is approval of minutes of the October 23, 2013 City Council meeting.
Got a motion and a second. Any edits? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to your consent agenda. Your consent agenda consists of agenda items number 2 through 51 and addendum items number 1 through 11. There have been some items put back for consideration as part of the consent. Therefore, your actual pulled items are now agenda item number 43, which was actually deferred by Councilmember Griggs. Agenda item number 49 is pulled by Councilmember Grayson and Councilmember Carraway. Addendum item number 1 is pulled by Councilmember Griggs. Addendum item number 2 is pulled by Councilmember Kingston. Addendum item number 3 is pulled by Councilmember Grayson. Therefore, for your consideration, your consent agenda consists of agenda items number 2 through 42, 44 through 48, 50 and 51, addendum items number 5 through 11. 5 through 11. I'm sorry, 4 through 11.
4 through 11, okay.
4 through 11.
All right. So do we have a motion? A motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We move now to agenda item number 49. Agenda item number 49 is authorize a 5-year contract with 2 5-year renewal options with Prestonwood Golf Club, LLC, to continue providing untreated water from December 15, 2012 through December 14, 2017. Councilmember Grayson and Councilmember Carraway pulled this item.
I'll entertain a motion. Did you want to speak, Ms. Grayson? No, I said I'll entertain a motion. You pulled it, so.
Councilmember.
Ms. Carraway. Ms. Grayson is up first.
Okay. I just wanted to reference this item and say that although I got an explanation to the questions that I asked, it still seems to me that a golf course spending $28,000 a year to water the entire golf course just seems like a very small amount of money for them to be spending to water a golf course for an entire year. So although I got an explanation as to why that is so, I just wanted to comment that that seems like not very much money to be charging a golf course for an entire year of watering.
Okay. Ms. Carraway? Okay, we got a motion. Is there a second? What's that? Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to addendum item number 1, authorized settlement of part of the lawsuit filed Jacqueline Collins et al. Versus City of Dallas et al. This item was pulled by Councilmember Griggs.
I entertain a motion, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. And this morning, the city attorney's office brought to my attention that there was an error made in the draft resolution of a clerical nature. So this motion is just to correct that clerical nature on behalf of that the city attorney's office brought to my attention. So I move to approve addendum agenda item number 1 and authorize settlement of the lawsuit styled Collins v. City of Dallas et al. In an amount not to exceed $225,000. Subject of payment of $150,000 to the Section 142 Trust and $75,000 to the law firm of Hutchinson Lewis, as provided in the revised resolution.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 2. Is a resolution authorizing number 1, ratification of emergency repairs, temporary power installation and replacement of damaged or compromised electrical system components at the J. Eric Johnson Central Library with Shermu Industries, Inc. in an amount not to exceed $2,348,103. And number 2, an increase in appropriations in the amount of $2,348,103 in the equipment and building services budget. This item was pulled by Councilmember Kingston.
Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Manager, the question I have is, what is the status of our property and casualty insurance for this loss?
Gene Chipperfield will go ahead.
Thank you.
So once we get the repairs done, we will be able to submit a claim to our carrier. We do have a $1 million deductible on our policy. And then we anticipate being reimbursed for approximately $607,000 worth of the work that needs to be done over at the library. Additionally, there are some other there's some assessments that we're doing to repair some of the cables that are underground, depending on what the damage is to those cables. If it was caused by the sewer line break, then we would also submit that as a claim as well.
And what's your expectation of any recovery for that amount? I mean, we're essentially short $500,000 or so.
Let's see. That portion of the repair is about $415,000. So depending, we can't see the damage right now, so we don't know if it was caused by the sewer line break. So we will need to get in there and see what the damage was caused by, and then determine whether or not we can submit a claim for those repairs.
And just so council understands, you know, we had a sewage leak at J. Eric Johnson, and it was bad. I mean, any sewage leak is bad, but the one that ruins your wiring is worse. And so we have apparently, I didn't know this until this happened, we have apparently a PNC policy that has $1 million deductible or $1 million self-insured retention. I don't know how we characterize
it. $1 million deductible.
And so of the stuff over what we're responsible for, we know we're going to get $600,000 back, and we think we have a shot at getting another $400,000 and some odd beyond that. Is that right?
Right.
So really a minimal loss beyond what's covered by our insurance, right?
Yes.
Assuming we're successful in adding on these other claims.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Move approval.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 3 is authorize a 20-year term with 1 5-year renewal option development and maintenance agreement with St. Paul Holdings, L.P., a Texas limited partnership for the construction, development, and maintenance of a landscape and site plan at Pacific Plaza located at 312 North St. Paul Street. Councilmember Grayson pulled this item.
Ms. Grayson?
Thank you, Mayor. I had originally pulled this item because I thought this was a different developer, the one that is thinking of putting a parking garage on the park downtown, but it's not. It's a developer, and this is a good item, and I am going to be supporting it, but it did trigger a conversation that I thought I'd like to bring up now. Recently in the Transportation Committee, we had a discussion with our DART board members about the second alignment downtown, which was always supposed to be a subway, but now is starting to be discussed as a potential surface line through downtown. And I had raised the concern about snarling up traffic downtown with a second alignment that would also be at grade, which means on the surface, versus having it be in a subway. And
Ms. Grayson?
Yes?
I got in trouble last time because we got off the agenda item. Does this have to do with this agenda item?
Yes.
Okay, please.
Okay, because part of this agenda item has to do with part of the park. And so Ms. Hill at our meeting talked about how her preference would be to have a surface alignment because it would limit the amount of cars going into downtown. And I think that's a discussion that we ought to have related to this park, which is parking garages and mass transit. Now, this item holds aside some land to be developed for that park. Before we get too far with deal points about the rest of the park with a different developer and potentially putting up a parking garage, I would like to ask staff to be sure that we have a discussion about that before we get presented with some sort of proposal that's a fait accompli. And with that, Mayor, I'm going to move approval of this item.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Motion is second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to agenda item number 52. Agenda item number 52 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. You do have several nominees, as well as vice chair and chair nominees for consideration. For individual appointment to the Board of Adjustment, you have Hector Leija, nominated by Councilmember Hill. To the Landmark Commission, Michael L. Amonet is nominated by Councilmember Griggs and has historic preservation experience. For full council appointment, you have Philip Lewis. To the Board of Adjustment, alternate members is nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo. For chair, vice chair, you have Mary Spencer. To the Animal Shelter Commission is nominated by Mayor Rawlings as chair. Max Wells to the Park and Recreation Board is nominated as chair by Mayor Rawlings. Maurice Franklin to the South Dallas Fair Park Development Fund Board is nominated as chair by Mayor Rawlings. Melaiska Fletas is nominated to the Animal Shelter Commission as vice chair by Councilmember Cadane. Pam Gerber is nominated as vice chair to the Community Development Commission by Councilmember Kingston. Those are your nominees this morning, and I believe Councilmember Kingston wants to be recognized, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Davis.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, on the trust fund, the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund Board, I am supporting Mr. Larson who was appointed by Mr. Allen. He is the vice.
I don't think that's the item we're on yet.
Are we doing all the nominations?
We're doing all the nominations, but we're not voting on that yet.
The vice chair for the South Dallas Fair Park Fund Board is not presented at this time.
Okay.
Hold on that. I'm still looking for a motion to approve Mr. Kingston.
Mr. Mayor, my motion is to add Suzanne Smith as vice chair of the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund Board to consideration with the rest of the nominees.
As vice chair.
As vice chair.
And what I'm saying.
I got it. I understand what's happening now. Okay. So, do we have a second? As a vice chair. Okay.
I have to make a statement.
No, I do. I understand that. I understand. Let me just kind of bring everybody up to speed. Okay? So what we were going to do is vote for these appointments that were being made without the vice chair of the South Dallas Trust Fund. Mr. Kingston has made a motion to, by acclamation or as voting, to put that person on this list. And we had a second. Just a second. Okay. Let me just finish. Okay. Just set the thing. We were going to vote on that in a moment with a nomination from Mr. Allen and a nomination from Mr. Kingston. I think that was the way it was. So now Mr. Kingston has brought up this. Now we will have discussion. Mr. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What I would like to do is pull this agenda item. Out of fairness, Mr. Allen is not here to this. This individual is the vice chair of the trust fund now. This individual has done a wonderful job being on the trust fund now. And so I will be supporting Mr. Allen in this motion for this individual as the vice chair of the trust fund. This person has been on the trust fund for a number of years, has been the vice chair, and has done an extremely good job, I believe, as the chair of the trust fund now. So I would like to have this item pulled until Mr. Allen comes back, and so he will have a fair opportunity to at least discuss his vice chair of the trust fund.
Got that. I'm trying to figure out technically what you are doing here.
She wanted to defer it.
No, I know what she wants to do, what technically she's doing. Are you making a substitute motion to defer the voting of the vice chair to a later time?
Yes, until at least Mr. Allen comes back.
We'll just go ahead and say that if that's what you're doing.
So, Mr. Mayor, I would like to make a substitute motion to defer this item until Mr. Allen gets back from out of town. He's going to the National Leader Cities, and then we can bring the agenda item back on next Wednesday.
And we would proceed with the remainder of the board and commissions?
Yes.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on that. Discussion on the substitute motion. Mr. Kingston, did you want to say anything more?
No.
Okay. Mr. Atkins.
Again, I concur with Ms. Davis. I talked to Mr. Allen. Unfortunately, he is not here, and he had a plan. And in the future, we always, if councilmen want to defer some for the next couple of weeks, I think we deserve that opportunity to hear him when he comes back so we have full council. So we know we got a National League of City. Unfortunately, I was not planning on being here today, and also Von Seal not here, so we should at least hear Councilwoman Davis that deferred his item to Mr. Allen get back next week.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Mr. Carraway.
Yes, Mayor, I'm just wanted some clarity. Are we holding all vice chairs for just a moment?
No. Let me say that once again. Okay. So the substitute motion on the floor is to defer the election of vice chair of this committee to a later time and approve all the remaining nominations, chair, and others that Ms. Rios read.
All right. Mr. Callahan and I just had a conversation about the vice chair of the animal shelter.
Yeah.
And that's not what we're talking about at this very moment.
That has nothing to do with anything because it's okay. Not been read
here. It's
all
part of this memorandum.
I'm sorry, Ms. Rios.
Right. I did read to the animal shelter, Vice
oh,
Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Melissa
it is.
Smith.
So that was
yes.
A...
Yes, they are up for...
Okay, so
everything.
So Mr. Callahan and I would like to make a motion to pull that for just a moment if it's proper at this time.
Got
if
it.
If not, then we'll wait.
Okay, so you guys want
to... animal control.
You want to defer that as well?
Yes.
Yes, there's some confusion because a lady
please.
That was anticipated on being the animal control shelter apparently has been nominated on another board and commission unbeknownst to Councilman Carraway now, so I think we need to make sure she understands she can't serve on two boards and commissions.
Okay. So, Mr. Callahan, what I'm hearing that you want to make a friendly amendment to Ms. Davis's to pull that... the animal.
I would pull that one item and
item.
Refer that to a later time.
Ms. Carraway, do you want to second that?
We'll second.
Ms. Davis, do you accept that? Mr. Atkins, do you accept that? Okay. Are we clear over there?
Yeah, we're clear.
Okay. So, on the floor is. Excuse me. Did you want to say something, Ms. Grayson?
Yeah, I want to be clear over here, too.
Yeah, okay, sorry. All right, I'll look at you. Sorry.
Are we pulling the vice chair of the Animal Shelter Commission?
Yes.
Is that then as well as the vice chair of the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. And we would approve all other items. Any other discussion? Do we want to have a record vote? Or all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
We got two nays. The ayes pass. We have those approved. We will put off the two vice chairs till a later time. Okay? I think we got through that. All right. Next item.
Agenda item number 53. Requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize acquisition, including the exercise of the power of eminent domain, if such becomes necessary, a total of approximately 37,517 square feet of land from 10 separate properties located near the intersection of Royal and Goodnight Lanes in City of Dallas Block 6549, 6550, 6551, and 6552, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed resolution for this item for street improvements for Goodnight Lane. This item requires a record vote, and Councilmember Alonzo has the item, Mr. Mayor.
Entertain a motion, Ms. Alonzo.
Move for approval.
We have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? You don't want to say anything? Okay.
No.
Let's vote.
Start voting.
Yeah, there we go.
Seven have voted. Nine have voted. Ten have voted. One more. All have voted on the motion.
Thank you.
The vote is unanimous in favor by Councilmember Medrano, Davis, Carraway, Gates, Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Councilmember Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, and Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 54 is authorized number one. The acceptance of $13,350,000 of Community Development Block Grant Section 108 Guaranteed Loan Program funds from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development HUD for Lake Highlands Town Center Phase 1 Commercial Development Project. Number two, a loan agreement with PCLH Land Partners LP, the Section 108 borrower, its affiliates or assigns in the amount of $13,350,000 of Section 108 loan funds for development of the Lake Highlands Town Center One Phase Project. Number three, the city manager to enter into all agreements with HUD. Number four, the city manager to establish appropriations for Section 108 loan funds for a commercial development loan. And number five, the city controller to deposit and disburse funds from an identified account for Section 108 loan funds. Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Callahan would like to be recognized.
Thank you.
Mr. Callahan. Mr. Mayor, I move to hold this matter under advisement until February 12, 2014.
We had a motion and a second for holding under advisement. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda items number 55 and 56 need to be considered collectively. Item number 55 is authorize a five-year service contract for public awareness campaigns for water conservation and grease abatement. Burston Mars Teller LLC, most advantageous proposer of four, not to exceed $6,313,000. Agenda item number 56 is authorize an amendment to the Memorandum of Understanding public awareness campaign between the City of Dallas and the Tarrant Regional Water District for the continuation of and creative development of the water conservation public awareness campaign for the next 5 years, not to exceed $750,000.
Thank you. I'll move motion to approve.
So
moved. Mr. Mayor, I have a sub-motion.
Discussion. Mr. Kingston.
Mr. Mayor, I have a substitute motion to deny the two items, with the exception of the grease abatement program, which is a program that we need and has matching funds. But the expenditure of the money on water conservation advertising simply has not been explained. This went back through quality of life. The questions that I presented to staff regarding this program simply were not answered. The memorandum that we received back was non-responsive to the questions. There are no metrics for showing that this kind of advertising works at all. And I'll tell you something else. For the amount of money in this appropriation, I can replace all the 100-year-old supply pipe in Munger Place. We don't know how much water we're losing from leaking 100-year-old pipes in this city, but I suspect it's quite a bit more than will be saved by some billboards. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a second? We have a motion and a second. So we have a substitute motion. Would you repeat exactly what everybody's voting
on? Yes, Mr. Mayor. And if we need to clarify this, I'm also fine with staff suggesting that we take it back and run it back through council at a later time. But my motion would be to deny all of the water conservation advertising fund expenditures in both 55 and 56, but approve the grease abatement expenditures.
So I think what you're really making motion is just to approve just the, because you would just vote to deny these things.
I think it could be done either of those ways, Mr. Mayor. So, I just don't want to spend the money on the advertising for water conservation.
So your motion is to approve only expenditures against grease abatement programs.
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Callahan, do you agree with that? Okay. Discussion. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When this was on the agenda the last time, we discussed it going back to quality of life. Did it go back to quality of life?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the recommendation then? That no changes? Or
Mr. Carraway?
And Ms. Grayson, you want to speak to it?
Yeah.
Pardon?
Do you want to speak?
No. She was asking what was the quality of life.
Oh, Ms. Gates was asking.
Yes.
Yes. We didn't have any changes to it. We had some concerns, but we kind of just left it where it was.
So you felt like this was an effective program? I mean, was there any matrix that you looked at?
My committee members, Mr. Griggs and Ms. Grayson.
Okay. Thank. Yeah. Okay.
One other point. I think in the memo that we got out, I think it said that we lose 9% of our water usage through broken pipes or. It's recommended that you not be above 10%. So we're very close to that threshold that we need to be spending more money years to make sure we're not losing water in that fashion. To Mr. Kingston's point, but I would like to hear a little bit more what quality of life. If they looked at metrics at all.
Ms. Gates. So are you finished?
I am finished.
Good. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. We had a lot of questions in quality of life, and the memo that we got back from staff attempted to answer them. We did, I think, as a committee, make a recommendation to go forward. But what I wanted to ask Mr. Kingston was, if staff was able to satisfactorily answer your questions and your concerns, would you then be willing to move forward? I mean, your motion is to just not do this at all. But you did mention just now that if staff was able to give you the answers that you felt were satisfactory, that maybe you could take another look at this or we could take it. Could you give me a little bit more on that? Would you be willing to wait on this and get and see if staff could satisfy your concerns?
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Turn off because I'm around, too.
There you are.
Okay, there I am. pardon me, Ms. Grayson. Here's my concern. We've already spent $6 million on this program. They're asking for $7 million more. We have no metrics. I've asked now for 3 weeks. We've gone through your quality of life committee asked some very good questions. They did not ask two questions that I've been asking for a long time. One, where are the metrics that show that this program works? I believe those do not exist. I believe that I've asked enough that we can assume that those do not exist at this point. Two, why was this contract awarded to the bidder that was not the lowest bidder and an out-of-town bidder over two local lower bidders? None of that's been explained. At this point, yes, I would rather be right. If staff brings me metrics that show that this is a great program, I would much rather be right about how we do water conservation. It's $7 million, and if we're not going to get an explanation of why that's good, I can fix all of the pipes in Munger Place where they're having rust and debris come in through their pipes into their homes, bathing their children in brown water. This is a nice neighborhood, and they're hopping mad, and I can replace all of those pipes and have $2 million left over. I just think that we have more effective ways to do water conservation. It's a very important part of our water strategy, don't get me wrong. But when you raise the price, people use less. And we send public education to every consumer in the system every month. It's called a bill. And if their bill won't make them conserve water, a billboard on the highway isn't going to either. So at this point, yes, I'm perfectly willing to be educated. I disbelieve that I will be able to be satisfied because I've asked so long and we haven't gotten a response.
Could
Thanks,
we ask
Mayor.
Staff to come up now and directly address Mr. Kingston's questions?
Well, Ms. Grayson, if you have some questions to staff, please ask them.
No, I'd like Mr. Kingston to ask his questions directly to staff.
I think he has.
Here.
He said...
Committee.
He's going to vote against it.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, I am on the quality of life, and let me say this. I do enjoy the advertisement that goes out. I have been, and I'm just saying myself as an individual, I have been educated, Mr. Kingston, on the cease to grease. You know, they do the commercial on the cease to grease. They also do the commercial on the water as well. In my water bill, I normally get my bill, look at my balance, and I throw the rest of it in the trash. So I don't really take the time to look at that bill. I don't know what anybody else may do, but that's what I do. I do like the campaigns that the water department has done. Now, I do think if it's going to, and I guess the question I'm going to ask you, if we were to bring it back to the quality of life, if staff were to get you all of that information, would you agree with us to bring it back to the quality of life one more time? You're there in the meeting and to get all these questions answered. You're just saying, no, let's just kill it.
Yes, Mr. Kingston.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Thanks. Ms. Davis, I will do whatever my council colleagues want to do if they feel like they need more information. I just think it's foolish. We've asked and asked and asked, and we haven't gotten a response. And the two questions that so far cannot be answered that I think are absolutely barriers to approving this program are, does it work? And why did it go to somebody who wasn't the low bidder?
And Mr. Kingston, let me ask you this, and you know, because I'm going to, you know, you and I work well together, I believe. If you just let Mr. Carraway just bring it back to the quality of life, and let's try to get those two questions asked, on your behalf. Ms. Caraway, would you be willing to take it back?
Well, I think... Wait, hold, guys. All right. Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Okay.
Are you finished?
Well, let me say this. I support this item, but I just want to make sure that we answer Mr. Kingston's question, and if the chair... And I know he's going to say something, and we can bring it back, because I think this is good. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. Mr. Caraway, I will now let you answer Ms. Davis' question.
Well, let me first say this. I think, Ms. Grayson, we should attempt to see if we can get those answers. We've been to the quality of life. We've sent a recommendation back, and they may be sitting there with the answers today. So I would ask Mayor if we could let's get Joey or whomever, Jody, Forrest, can we answer Mr. Kingston's questions today, or do we need time and do we need to go back to the quality of life? You let me hear from you.
So to respond to your question, yes, we will attempt to answer Mr. Kingston's questions today. Jody, our Director of Water Utilities, is here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, regarding the metrics, during the presentation to council committee, as well as the subsequent memos we've sent, we've identified three targets that are part of this water conservation campaign. And one of the major targets has to do with customers. There's a survey done after each year on the campaign. And so, in 2012, the last survey that we did, 69% of the customers surveyed reported behavioral changes associated with seeing the campaign, and that was an improvement from 46% in 2003. So we've made progress. So that's a 50% improvement since our campaign began. So there are three major targets that we look at in the metrics as part of the campaign. The second issue that Mr. Kingston mentioned this morning has to do with the procurement process. This wasn't a low bid process, but it's a request for proposal process where the proposers were ranked based on three or four different criteria, including cost. And so that's Burson Marshdollar was the winner, for lack of a better term, of that ranking. So, Mr. Mayor, that's my response.
Okay.
Thank you. I want to just clarify something you said. The question was what on the survey?
The question was... have you changed your behavior associated by seeing the water conservation campaign?
And we had a 50% improvement on that.
Right. Yes.
Now, let me ask, did you see the usage per citizen drop in this period of time?
Our consumption has also dropped per capita during that same period of time.
So there are two metrics there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Atkins.
I guess I'm not on the quarter line, and I guess I'm kind of confused with my colleague, Ms. Kingston, and also quarter life. And I know we just went back to quarter life and trying to make sure that our question was addressed properly. Pertaining to procurement, it's not always that we go with a lower bidder. Is that a fair statement, Joy?
It depends on the
RFP, how we do that. So, to me, that's of course have been addressed, that we do not go with low bid all the time. The other question that Mr. Kingston is asking about is a metric. Do we have a metric that measures what we do, what the consumer do with water? As you stated, there was a survey went out, and you are saying there were two metrics that we did address.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I guess to you, Mr. Caraway, the chair, that staff did answer those questions according to what they thought the question was asked, and they answered the question. But in, my colleague, Mr. Kingsley, I guess that you're not satisfied with that answer. Let me finish. And that's to the point. And let's get to the point of communication. So if one question is asked and staff answer the question and the colleagues disagree with that, then we got to find out why, who is right, staff or the colleague right. And I think that's what we're looking at right now. And Mr. Caraway, I mean, you was there, and with your quality of life, if your recommendation to go forward, or do you want to bring it back, and you feel like there your committee need to go forward.
Let's get through. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people who want to say a few things. Let's get through this, and we'll decide how we move forward. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning. I was going to say this just for these metrics, this should come down to just kind of plug and chug. You got a minimum and a maximum that you think this has influenced how many gallons, and then just do a cost-benefit analysis. If we assume there's a 10% leakage rate in our pipes, if we replace $7 million worth of pipe, how many gallons of water will that potentially save versus how much do you think this program's done in the past?
So your question is?
Do we run a cost-benefit analysis on this where, one, we say, well, this program, we spend X dollars in advertising. If you spend X dollars in advertising, it influences consumers' behavior to the extent that this much gallons
right,
is reduced.
Right, right. I'm following your train of thought.
And then alternative B, just a cost-benefit analysis. We say, if we replace $7 million worth of pipe, I think we got some study that says, on average, we lose 10% of our water through leaky pipes. So if we assume the average pipe leaks out 10% of its water in these old pipes, how many gallons would we save by replacing $7 million worth of pipe? Do we run that?
Here's my challenge. You want to make it incremental based on each of these little pieces. As part of our overall strategic plan, we've outlined these components in that plan. So not only is it behavioral change, rates, you know, it's like everybody's right, which just makes it hard if somebody's wrong, right? So price makes a difference, efficiency of systems makes a difference, people's behavior makes a difference. So it's the coupling of that that has accomplished our goal so far. So to me, it is the three-legged stool. So I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, quite frankly, for that component. I can only tell you that we've gone from 240 gallons per capita to about 204 through the overall efforts of the strategic plan. And
keeping this component, we're saving per person, you said 40 gallons a day? Do you say 240 gallons?
We've gone from 240 to 200.
And that's?
40 gallons a day.
40 gallons a day.
40 gallons.
So your current strategy is saving us, and this is a component of this strategy, is saving us 40 gallons per day per customer.
Correct.
And we got a bunch of customers. How many customers?
Right. We have over 2.3 million.
Okay. So we're talking a lot of water here. Okay. So then would we get that same savings if we drop that component and we went to another program? How much are we going to save from a leaky pipe?
Depends how big the pipe is.
$7 million pipe size.
I can't even speculate. I'm sorry. Okay. I just can't do it.
Well, it sounds like we got a lot of savings if we're reducing our behavior by 40 gallons per person. But I would be interested. I think Mr. Kingston's raised a good point. I mean, just what are the numbers? The numbers are going to tell us. I mean, this is just a metric. This is an investment of money. Is it better spent on advertising or replacing pipe? Which one's going to get us more return for our dollars on this investment? And so in the future, that'd be a good way to look at it.
To your point, as we move into reviewing our strategic plan, which will come up in the next 6 to 12 months, will help us be able to do that. And there's more to leaky pipes than just conservation. There's, of course, service delivery, and property damage, things like that. So,
thank you.
I'm sorry if I haven't answered y'all's questions. I've done my best.
Thank you. Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And once again, it came before Quality of Life. We discussed it here. We brought it back to Quality of Life, and we're sending it back with a recommendation to full council. I would just suggest that, one, we do need to move it forward. And I'm supportive of moving this forward. But I want to make sure in the future that the concerns that our colleague have, Mr. Kingston, that we sit down and thoroughly go through them. He raises good concerns. At the same token, I would like to ask, putting this off, if we were to, in which I'm for moving it forward, what effect does it have on us? We've set it off before, and we're moving toward the holidays now in the first of the year. We only have two additional quality of life meetings coming, and it's already a full agenda. That's one thing. But even though it's a full agenda, we'll make the necessary corrections and arrangements to deal with it should we have to. But what effect, if any, does it have? And I want to make sure that you all visit with
Mr. Kingston and go down the list of his concerns and let's get it, you know, very clear.
Well, thank you, Councilmember Carraway. What we have attempted to do through two different memos to either the committee or to individual council members on the 8th and then on the 1st of November both, we sent responses out related to this issue. And so that's our attempt to try to address questions. To the degree that was satisfactory is, another issue. Regarding the delay of the item, quite frankly, generally we like to have this done in September. Mm-hmm. But we didn't get all our work done before now. So further delaying of this, quite frankly, is going to put us out of cycle with the campaign. We'll still be able to accomplish the Greece campaign because we have a little funding left, but the water conservation campaign won't get created. And keep in mind, this contract is a combination. So bifurcating that, I think that's the right use of the term, would require a negotiation, and I'm not even sure we can do that under the proposal rules. So, to me, it's kind of all or nothing from an agenda item perspective.
Okay. All right. So, Mayor, I'm recommending that we move it forward, but I also want to sternly suggest that we answer those concerns in advance as best we possibly can, and my colleague is not satisfied at this particular point. And that's why I want you all to kind of interact now to ease that so we can move it forward.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you for the round two, Mr. Mayor. I'm trying not to drag this out, but colleagues, you got to remember the timeline here. Years ago, we started on a conservation program. Staff has called it a three-legged stool. We started doing tiered pricing. We raised prices on heavy users. It is my contention, and I believe I can probably find you any number of economic studies to back this up, that when you raise price, people use less of the good or service you're offering. There is no comparable academic justification for the ad campaign. And what I would say is that if we're going to say we've saved 40 gallons per person, we don't know why we saved 40 gallons per person. Correlation is not causation. The fact that we had an ad campaign doesn't mean that it did any good. I would say it's much more likely that the increase in price is what caused people to use less. And the specific question I asked staff that didn't get answered is not what is the effectiveness of the ad campaign, it's what is the effectiveness of the ad campaign compared to more aggressive tiering of pricing for heavy users. Our commercial users continue to pay less than our residential users. People who don't live in Dallas continue to pay less than Dallas residents. Now, that's something for the legislative ad hoc committee to deal with, but these are important issues, and this is a lot of money. This is a lot of money that's going to somebody who doesn't have MWBE participation and is out of state. It's not a question of I got answers that I'm not satisfied with. I got answers that were non-responsive to the specific questions I asked. And if we're going to say, okay, we did these 10 things, we raised price, we put up some billboards, and we said some magic words, or we did a rain dance, you simply can't make the argument that the magic words in the rain dance resulted in conservation of water. What I'm asking my colleagues to do here, and if there's a problem with separating grease abatement from water conservation, I have a severe problem with that. I just have no idea what that means, frankly. If we're going to move forward with this, we need to ask tougher questions about how well does it work. We know what works. We know replacing pipe works. We know raising price on heavy users works. Despite many entreaties from me, we don't have metrics to show that billboard advertising, radio advertising, TV advertising is more effective than simply raising the price on heavy users. And that's what I'm asking you to consider here today. If we save this money, if we recalibrate our conservation efforts, I believe we can get greater conservation for less money. And I think that's what we're all about. I kind of wish Mr. Kleinman were here.
Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. Joy. Can you come forward? I'm going to be supporting Mr. Carraway to move forward with this. Is there any way to do some type of tracking on how many, and it's hard when you put a billboard on a highway and you're driving by to track the number of cars going by each and every day on a billboard. But can we set, for example, 30, Highway 30? Do we have a way of getting with TxDOT to find out how many cars go on 30 each and every day?
I think there's data for highway.
I think we need to look at something like this. So if it's 450,000 cars or more going 5 days a week, every day on Highway 30, that is a tracking method of that billboard. We talk about television. There is a way to track television to ensure how many people are looking at certain things on that. We have a system. There is software out there to track all of that type of stuff. Do we or can we get some type of tracking to show those type of things in the near future?
I think the media company has ways to do that. That's not my strength. Okay. So I think that that's part of the way they place media and locations.
Okay. I think we need to look at that long-term on tracking this type of information. Now, he talks about the advertisement company that's out of town. Is this an open bid process where anybody can bid anywhere? I'm asking.
Yes, ma'am.
So if they live in Idaho, they can bid here in Dallas?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this question. Do we look at the advertising company in Texas first before we go out of state?
No. We look at whether they have local offices and things like that, but that's not a criteria necessarily for selection, as I recall. So is it open for anybody that has the background and skill sets to do the work?
Okay. So we don't. So is that a rule that that purchase put in place, or is it a water rule?
We follow the city's rules. We don't have our own rules regarding procurement. Mike, if there's something for us, I don't remember all the. Is that correct?
Yes, okay, correct.
Well, I think as we go through this in the near future, if we can have, and I don't know that requirement of selecting. So I would think we would have, and let me say this, I would think we would have a PR firm here in Dallas that can do the same amount of work. And I'm just going to say that at this point. I think we do need to look at Texas first, looking at those PR firms first. It's a ton of them. It's a ton of them. And so for us not to be able to look at somebody here locally and then have to go way to Idaho to get someone to come in and give them $6 million, I have to say we need to improve on that as well. Okay?
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you. Jody? Was there ever an end envisioned to this campaign? Were we going to do it X number of years and then stop?
Yeah, to me the answer is yes.
Yes, there was going to be an end?
Yes, there's an end to this campaign process. One of the focuses of the current campaign was twice weekly watering. And so we've been through time of day. We just finished our second season of twice weekly watering. That was a big push to get that information out. And so this is a 5-year contract, but our strategic plan is where this is embedded, for lack of a better term. So you just earlier approved an education item that's part of that plan where we reach out to schools, which we briefed in Quality of Life as well. And so how we change this media campaign going forward as demands harden and behavior is established, I think is part of that strategic planning process. And so
you're now starting the process of updating us to get ready for the next 5-year strategic plan. Is this going to be included in this public awareness campaign effort?
There'll be, my suspicion would be there will be some public campaign component. Where we go now that we have twice weekly watering, now that we have time of day watering, we've had other programs in place. We've been replacing pipes now for 10 or 15 years. So where do we go next? And so I think that's part of that overall strategic process.
So I think what I'm hearing you say is that there's always going to be a different component that we want the public to know about, so this is going to go on and on. I mean, this is a very expensive program.
Well, may I?
Yes, you may.
I'm not saying that the Law Works for campaign will go on and on. I'm saying that there are components within this contract that are not radio, TV, billboard. There are community outreach. There are other programs. Bill Stuffers, as Mr. Kingston mentioned, other print pieces that are in there to get information out, as opposed to the most expensive part, which is radio and TV. That is about $500,000 or so a year. I think that was in a response we gave back to committee as well. So I don't know how it's going to be styled, and so part of that would be something. As we come back to finish that next update, we'll be certainly up for review. So.
Thank you, Jody.
Mr. Carraway.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. The agency that's doing this, are they Latino, Hispanic, or who's doing this?
They're a non-minority firm with a Dallas office.
Out of Dallas office. And a Hispanic agency here in Dallas or branched off to do what?
Hispanic, I just lost my train of thought. Hispanic company is the media buyer. And I think that's about 14%. I don't remember the number. I don't have the agenda item now in front of me. So that's the MWBE component.
So they are in charge of the media buy in the Dallas-Fort Worth regional market.
That's correct.
And so that minority firm will place and pick up and say, we're going to buy Aldea, we're going to buy the Elite News, the Dallas Weekly, whatever, the White Rocker and all of that. That is what that agency does.
That's correct.
And it is my understanding that the agency, Mr. Turner, that we're buying all across the board in this educational campaign. Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct. And I also want to point out one other piece. This company that proposed was the only one of the proposals that was a national company that had a Dallas office. So to answer your question is yes, and we feel like they do represent a local presence.
So they will buy Univision. They
yes,
will
sir.
Buy MTV.
Yes, sir.
Something that I don't even watch too much.
They'll place ads across the spectrum to touch every group as diverse a range as represented by Dallas' population.
Okay. All right. I'm through with that. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me just say a couple things and clarify. First of all, it is my understanding this is part of a North Texas effort, right?
That's correct.
So our money goes in with other money that North Texas is spending to change North Texas behaviors.
With Tarrant Regional Water District, right.
Thank you. Second, back to the issue of splitting the grease issue, what you're saying is that the RFP process was done in total, and we would have to go back if this motion is approved and rebid the whole process.
Yes, sir. That'd be my understanding of the proposal process,
okay,
as I recall it.
Third, just be clear, no one's getting $6 million. This is going for the whole effort, and it is being put through media buying services, and media companies in this area are getting the money to spend money. There's some money for services and creative in addition to that, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Guys, I'm sorry to say, or maybe not, I'm proud to say that I've spent 30 years of my life in advertising. And this discussion goes around boardrooms all the time. It's tough. I did hear you ask Mr. Kingston very early on that you wanted to see metrics and that they didn't deliver metrics. And what I heard is that there are some metrics, One is, you may not agree that they're the right metrics, but that we are doing a survey where people are saying they're changing their behavior.
That's correct. 50%
improvement. And they're using less money. Now, the question is correlation of what drives them using less water. Not using less money, using less water. And that is the dilemma in advertising from day one. There's an old thing, an old moment in a movie where he says, I know I'm wasting half my advertising dollars, I just don't know which half. And that really happens in everything we do in advertising. We need to always get better in tighter metrics. And I think some of the things Mr. Griggs is talking about with those math correlations are very important to do as we go about it, because we can spend a lot of money and just blanket this. I'm also a big believer in local spend, and there are some great ad agencies that are here, but just so you'll know, they're all owned by holding companies. And so this is virtually a local agency as well, because it's got a local office, but they're owned by a big holding company. So the question is how you get the money. Understanding the details of the media buy and who owns those properties is probably what we need to look at. Do
right.
we have enough minority-owned MBE businesses that money is going to?
That's
sadly
right.
to say, there's very few agencies
Absolutely.
That are that way, that haven't been now controlled by larger groups. I was a little bit hesitant about this when I came in as being mayor. I thought this was also a lot of money to change behaviors. As I have started to see the biggest issue in North Texas, this conservation issue is such a huge issue. And the progress we're making in changing behavioral thoughts, I think this is a cultural change. And I know for a fact that I've raised prices on products before and didn't change behavior, you know, because there's a magic price point that it starts to do that. So that's also a judgment, how you price your product, how where that magic is. So for me, when I look at the progress we've made over the last few years, would I like this budget to be less? And the impact, yes. Okay? And I think that we need to come back to quality of life every year and get tighter and tighter. And I don't think we're tight enough here, Jody, and I think that's what you're hearing from this group. But for us to throw the baby out with the bathwater on the progress we're making in the state of Texas, what people are saying, that we are leading conservation because we're changing people's behaviors, and whether it's at the council or with advertising, that's why I will be voting in opposition to the amendment that was made. So, Ms. Davis, did you have something else you want to say?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Thank you so much. Also, the media outlet, Joy, I would be interested to see those newspaper billboards and who they are sent to, this company, this Dallas company that kind of go out and sell these outlets. Can they give you a list when they start this process to all the council members if it's K-104?
We just need a media plan.
Yeah.
Just get the media plan to everybody,
yeah.
Okay? And then we'll do that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you,
Ms. Took it out of my mouth. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. So we have a motion in a second. Ms. Alonzo wanted me to clarify to only approve funding for the grease trap part of this items 55 and 56. If that is approved, I assume we go back and we'll do a new RFP to make that happen. Okay? Is that clear, Ms. Alonzo?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So why don't we take a vote, individual vote.
Start voting.
Okay. What's that? Okay. Okay. There is a motion to deny everything except for the grease traps. Okay? Motion and second.
Okay, please start voting. All have voted. Voting in favor, Councilmember Medrano, Kingston. Voting against, Councilmember Davis, Carraway, Gates, Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Councilmember Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, and Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. The motion fails, Mr. Mayor.
All right, we'll go back to the original motion of Mr. Carraway's to approve items 55 and 56. Let us go ahead and vote on that item as well. Reset it up.
Okay, start voting. Nine have voted. Two are missing.
But the motion of Mr. Carraway's to approve items 55 and 56 as written.
Nine have voted. Ten have voted. One more. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Councilmember Medrano, Davis, Carraway, Gates, Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Councilmember Grayson, Griggs, and Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. Voting against are Councilmember Kingston and Callahan. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
The following statement applies to agenda items number 57 through 63. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. All of these items will require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I should have said something earlier if anybody's listening. I'm going to try to take afternoon speakers after this session because there are people that happen to leave, and I want to make sure that we have a quorum when those speakers are speaking. So if you are hearing or outside and want to come in and speak, we're going to take it after the morning session. Thank you. Ms. Rios.
Agenda item number 57 is authorize a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement pursuant to Public-Private Partnership Program with Lakewest ALF Realty LLC in an amount up to $200,000 associated with expanding a senior housing facility in Southern Dallas. Councilmember Grayson and Councilmember Alonzo.
Thank you. Ms. Alonzo.
Move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion is carried.
Agenda item number 58 is authorize a contract with Community Dental Care, Inc. for the continuation of dental health services to low-moderate income seniors age 60 and above and children through age 19 residing in Dallas for the period October 1, 2013 through September 30, 2014. This item does require 2 seconds.
Got a motion and a second. Any
discussion?
Sorry. We need another second. Ms. Alonzo?
Thank you.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 59 is authorize a contract with Open Arms, Inc., DBA Bryan's House, for the provision of child care services for special needs children for the period October 1, 2013 through September 30, 2014. This item does require 2 seconds.
We got 1 second. We got 2 seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 60 is authorize a contract with Vogel Alcove, Inc. for the provision of child care services for homeless families for the period October 1, 2013 through September 30, 2014. This item requires 2 seconds.
So moved.
We need another second. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Am I the only one voting? Or everybody else? Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 61 is authorize a contract with YMCA of Metropolitan Dallas for the provision of child care services for after-school programs for the period October 1, 2013 through September 30, 2014.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. With gusto.
Agenda item number 63 is authorize an amendment. Agenda item number 62 is authorize a 12-month contract with Senior Citizens of Greater Dallas, Inc. to provide senior service programs for seniors age 60 and above in the following three categories. Number one, senior outreach program in West Oak Cliff area. Number two, nursing home ombudsman program. And number three, outreach and case management program with special emphasis on Spanish-speaking seniors for the period October 1, 2013 through September 30, 2014.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Ms. Alonzo, I think you're doing a great job with senior citizens. Thank you for your advocacy and your leadership. Thank you.
Agenda item number 63 is also authorize an amendment to resolution number 12-2706 to number one, increase a housing development loan for 2122 Highland LLC from $400,000 to $550,000. Number two, extend the term of the contract from October 24, 2013 to January 31, 2014. And number three, require that the additional $150,000 be repaid at zero interest over 20 years. This item requires 2 seconds.
So moved.
Second. Okay. Was that 2 seconds? Who was the other? Yes. Minute, Ms. Alonzo. Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to addendum item number 12. Addendum item number 12, Councilmember Carraway and Mayor Pro Tem Atkins have a conflict and will be stepping out of the council chamber. Addendum item number 12 is a resolution designating absences by Mayor Pro Tem Tenelle Atkins and Councilmember Dwayne Carraway as being for official city business.
We have a motion to approve.
Mr. Mayor, who do we ask questions about this item?
Yeah. Do we have a second? Thank you. Okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to your speakers, to the afternoon speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, do we have any of them here? Okay,
I'm going to read the names. If you're present, please, you may want to come sit.
I just don't want to not give them a shot if we lose a quorum this afternoon. That's my problem.
Okay,
go ahead.
Ozumba Lunx, Marvin Crenshaw, William Hopkins, LaCoya London, Roy Williams, Richard Sheridan, Robert Ceccarelli, Dolores Phillips, and Jonathan Vance.
Anybody here? Oh, great.
We have Ozumba Lunx coming forward to the podium.
All right, Ms. Lunx.
Merrill, City Council. I come down here to speak to you all only. And there's some interference been going on here, and this is concerning Mr. Richard Sheridan. I've asked him to stop calling my house, stop texting me, calling me a-holes and cowards and stuff like this. I got about 30-some text messages. It's in my book here. I'm going to give you a copy of this, Merrill. I also would like for Mr. Carraway to have a copy of this here. And I'm going to talk to an attorney also that he talked about in those text messages and other millionaires and billionaires here in the city of Dallas. And I told him to stop sending me those text messages. I'm not a part of that. He told me that his mother killed herself. He said his sister committed suicide. He said he was gay or something, a punk, and he not no more. And he's obsessed by something. I don't know what it is. And I don't know why he want to cling to me and other people down here. I don't know what his problem is. I've been telling him, as you remember, when I run the city council, to leave me alone and quit calling. But I don't know what's wrong with Richard Sheridan. I am beginning to be afraid of Richard Sheridan, and I also fear for my life, and I would like for him to know that. And as soon as his new address come out on this deal, I will certify mail and notarize a letter to him. But I understand that he has moved from his apartment. I want Richard Sheridan to know that I am going to the DA's office on the 21st of this month, and I would like for him to be down there to talk to the DA about what he know on me. He told me he'd been watching me for 7 years, and he's going to the DA on me, and he know everything. And if I don't come and be his friend, he's going to go to the DA. That's the threat. He's been also, you know, like I said, following me or whatever you want to call it. What's the word for it? You know, I just got a lot of stuff on my mind right now. But I don't like what Calway is doing. I want him to stay away from me. I want him to quit calling me a-holes. I want him to quit saying I'm a coward, because I don't think he knows what he's talking about. I don't know what his problem is. And he says his mother and sister commit suicide. So I don't know what's wrong with him, but I don't know why he come out and mess with the blacks down in African American. I mean, I don't need him, a person like him, to be my lead. I'm not in the Branch Division, whatever you call it. I'm not in Waco. I'm not over in Guyana. You know, we don't need him. I want him to stay away from us and all other blacks down here think like that. Who is Richard Sheridan? Where'd he come from? Who sent Richard Sheridan down here? You know, I don't critique anyone. And whatever they have to say is what they have to say. I don't know what's wrong with Richard. He got a problem. Stay away from me. I'm afraid of Richard Sheridan. I fear for my life from Richard Sheridan. And I want him to stop texting me, calling me all these derogatory words. And I am working on a lawsuit against him. And I will be giving it to some other millionaires I used to work with and associated with and my friends that know them. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Yeah, Mayor, I just want to, Zumba, I just want to chime in and say that Mr. Zumba came to my office, and he did share some of this information with me, and I would ask, and I've seen some of those memos, and so I want you to know this is not something this time that he's just saying. It's something we do need to look and follow up on, and it has been something that I've seen myself.
Thank you. Any other?
There are none of the called speakers aside from Mr. Lunks, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Meeting is recessed. We will readjourn at 1:00 p.m. Take up the afternoon's activities.
Recess at 10:31.
Let's begin 1:08 p.m. We will call our Dallas City Council meeting back to order. We'll take up our afternoon agenda items. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to begin with your zoning consent agenda items, which consist of agenda items number 64 through 67. All items will be read into the record, after which speakers will be called up to the podium. Agenda item number 64 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an outside salvage or reclamation use on property on the southeast corner of Norwich Street and Bedford Street. Agenda item number 65 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a new subdistrict and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a retail food store on property zone sub-area B within Plan Development District number 134 on the north corner of Lindsley Avenue and Graham Avenue. Agenda item number 66 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an NSA Neighborhood Service District on property north of Singleton Boulevard east of Toronto Street. Agenda item number 67 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for GOA General Office District uses on property on the southeast line of Walnut Hill Lane, east of Gulf Lakes Trail. And I apologize for the record. Addendum item number 13 is part of the consent agenda. However, that agenda item is being pulled by Councilmember Gates. Are there any speakers that would like to speak on agenda items number 64 through 67 in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items? Are there any speakers? We have one speaker coming forward. You are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. As well, if you would please state which agenda item or items you're speaking on and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings.
Yeah, Mayor Ross, you raised so many, I didn't really get them. Was any of these
What item are we speaking to?
That's why I said she raised so many.
What?
Is any of these Pinkston, one by Pinkston, mini yards? No? Okay.
Not there. Hold back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve agenda items number 64 through 67? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Alonzo?
Mr. Mayor, I just want to clarify something because on item number, I wanted to make a motion to approve items 64, 65, and 66 because I believe 67 and 68 have to be deferred because we have no three-quarter vote.
We were just informed by staff that 67 does not require three-quarters vote.
Okay, well then, what about 68?
I should have clarified. 68, that Councilmember Davis wants to be recognized prior to reading of agenda item 68.
Well, those were the ones that were read, Mr. Mayor, so can I make a motion?
Well, it was 64 through 67.
Okay, I make a motion to move item 64 through 67 forward.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Davis would like to be recognized in relation to agenda item 68.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to hold that agenda item until our next full council meeting, please.
Thank you.
December 11th?
Yeah.
December 11th.
We had a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 69 is a public hearing.
Oh, excuse me. Can we move to number 80?
Okay. Councilmember, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonso would like to be recognized on agenda item number 80.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to defer this item till January 22nd, 2014, with the public hearing left open.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Ms. Davis, if you can just hit your light.
Oh. Mr. Mayor, can I clarify this?
Please, Ms.
Lawson. To the constituents that are here regarding item number 80, that is regarding the variance near Pinkston High School, we have deferred this item right now, so I just wanted to let you know that this is going to be deferred until that time. Thank you. Thank you very much for coming as well. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Agenda item number 69 is a public hearing regarding an application for a CR community retail district subject to deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property bounded by Illinois Avenue, Alaska Avenue, Montana Avenue, and Marcellus Avenue. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item?
Hold on. Why don't you read that into the record, right?
69?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's move to 70, and we'll come back to take speakers on 69.
Thank you. Agenda item number 70 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 1357 for an open enrollment charter school on property on the northwest corner of Bruton Road and McCutcheon Lane. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? We do have one individual coming forward.
Yeah, my name is William Hopkins. My Ross, I've been asking about these open enrollment charter schools probably 10 years. And I keep asking, Dwayne told me to go to the school board. If you got a school board issue, you go to the school board. So I went to the school board, Mayor Rollins, and I don't know if because of you and the superintendent is close or what, but when I asked about the open enrollment charter schools, I got no answer. I was trying to find out from the school board, how is it that the DISD is closing schools and opening open enrollment charter schools? How they got so much money for charter schools and you don't have no money and you're closing the public schools. So I went to the superintendent and he under so much, there's so much going on down there. So I couldn't get no answer. So I asked again, Mr. Robbins. I've been to the school board like Caraway told me to do. I went to the school board like he told me. How is it that the open enrollment charter schools are getting so many millions of dollars and you're closing the
Mr. Hopkins?
Charter school.
You know, I will answer your question as soon as the meeting's over, if that's your question. I'll do it. I'll just grab you right here and we'll talk. Okay?
No.
You don't?
No. That's not what I want to do, Mayor Robbins.
Okay.
I want you to sit right where you at and use however much time you need. But I don't want to go inside. I don't want to hide in the back. I don't want you to do nothing. I want you right out front. I want you to tell me how is it that and why is it that they come through the city? If the school board, why don't they go to the school board and why did this charter be at the city? Why do I have to come and speak to y'all all the time and you want to take me to the side and in the back and all that? And why do they come through the city to get this money? What do the city have to do with this money? You can't say it right. You can't use my 58 seconds. Well, why is it that the city name is on this, and I have to come down here and confront y'all for 10 years and go to the school board and still don't get no answer, and you want to take me to the side? Why is that, Mayor Rawlings?
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Callahan.
Thank you, Mayor. Just want to make a quick comment before I made the motion. Now, there's been a lot of back and forth on this given item, item number 70, regarding a charter school. And while the grades go from freshman through senior would be increased, the enrollment is not going to increase. We're going from 488, but we have a maximum of 600. There's been a concern in the neighborhood about traffic and so forth, so we've tried to answer through a traffic management plan to try to ameliorate that problem. But just wanted the neighborhood to understand that I'm not going to stand in the way of this charter school because this is valued part of our community. There was a school there prior to that, Metropolitan Christian School, so there's been a history of that. This school probably is on marked time anyway. I think in the next 2 or 3 years they're buying land, they're going to build a new school, so that problem will probably eventually go away. But I'm going to go ahead and support that, so therefore I move to close the public hearing and to approve the item as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following change: to add a condition that the owner, at its expense, if warranted and in accordance with city standards and approved by the city's traffic engineer, school zone traffic control devices.
Second.
We got a motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. We've read 69 into the record. We'll take those public speakers now.
Again, are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve agenda item number 69? Are there any speakers in favor? We have an individual coming forward. Sir, you do have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you.
My name is Frank Yeomans from Chattanooga, Tennessee, representing the Hutton Company as the applicant. Thank you, Council, for patience regarding this matter, Councilman Caraway. And, Council, I'm here to answer any questions you might have regarding the matter.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for holding up this item. I move to close the public hearing and approve the zoning changes as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the ordinance and the deed restrictions to come back at a future date.
We have a motion.
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement applies to agenda items number 71 and 73 through 76. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, these items will require 2 seconds. Agenda item number 71 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a new subdistrict on property on the and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a recycle buyback center on the southeast corner of Wall Street and Corinth Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 32 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 1 reply in favor and 8 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Medrano.
Yeah, I move to close the public hearing and approve item number 71.
Second.
Thank you. And approve, you said?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 72 does not require 2 seconds, but it is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1904 for a late hours establishment limited to a restaurant with drive-in or drive-through service on property on the southwest corner of Alta Avenue and Greenville Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 40 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 7 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
This item was amended on the addendum to reflect that it was not a designated zoning case, but simply an individual zoning case. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move to close public hearing and approve the CPC recommendation for 5 years.
Second.
And a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 73 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a new planned development subdistrict for multifamily uses on property on the north side of East Greenbrier Lane and northwest of North Zang Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 38 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 8 replies in favor and 2 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and follow the CPC recommendation and approve this item.
Second.
We got a motion and a second. And another second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 74 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a new subdistrict in Plan Development District number 357, the Farmers Market Special Purpose District, generally bounded by Marilla Street, South Cesar Chavez Avenue, Boulevard, East R.L. Thornton Freeway, and South Harwood Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 124 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 10 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor?
Tommy Mann, 500 Winstead Building, representing the developer and applicant now in this request, though the city was actually our co-applicant at the time it was made. The request before you today is just for zoning, and from a zoning standpoint, we're creating a new sub-district and addressing lot coverage and the ability to build our centralized parking garage. There will be one more approval that comes before you relating to signage. The Special Provision Sign Committee is actually considering that this afternoon. It will probably be back to you in January. But obviously, this is a very exciting public-private partnership, and we're ready to start pulling permits in January. Happy to answer any specific questions you have.
Are there any other speakers in favor? Thank you, sir. No further speakers, Mr. Mayor. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. Ms. Medrano.
Yeah.
I move to close the public hearing and approve item number 74.
We have another second?
Second.
Okay. We've got a motion and 2 seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 75 was deleted on the addendum. Item number 76 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development subdistrict for GR General Retail Subdistrict uses and an O2 office subdistrict with deed restrictions on the northern portion of the site currently zoned an O2 office subdistrict on property on the northeast line of Fitzhugh Avenue between Cole Avenue and McKinney Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 427 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 87 replies in favor and 60 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? Sir, if you'll... We have a couple of speakers.
If you're in favor, come on down the front.
Tommy Mann, 500 Winstead Building, again, representing the applicant in this request. It was held under advisement at your last meeting in order to allow us to conduct a community meeting, which we did last week. As a result of that meeting, there are some revisions to the landscape and site plan that have been included in your docket and some changes to the ordinance. Briefly, those addressed elimination of a few units on the north side to increase the green space, additional landscaping, reconfiguration of a portion of the green space to function as a dog park, a new drive approach on Fitzhugh, and the way the northern facades of the balconies will be treated. With those changes reflected in the ordinance, it is our understanding from the community that their concerns have been addressed. Additionally, we have the support of the Oak Lawn Committee. Frank is here to speak for them, the city staff, and the City Plan Commission. And so with those changes, as a result of the community meeting, we respectfully request your approval today and happy to answer any questions.
Next speaker.
My name's Frank Stitch. I live at 4224 North Hall Street, Dallas, Texas. I'm here today representing the Oak Lawn Committee. One of the first questions the Oak Lawn Committee asks of an applicant when they come looking for neighborhood support is, have you talked to your immediate neighbors? Everyone on the committee is a neighbor, but we're not necessarily an immediate neighbor. Frenzik has done a wonderful job of working with us and our subcommittee and working with the neighborhood to see if we couldn't reach consensus. We feel that they have really made every effort possible, and it appears that they have prevailed. Therefore, the committee has asked me to speak to you and ask that you please support this change. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor?
Jonathan Vance, yes, I'm in favor of this. And Mr. Rawlings, I'd like to speak with you. I was here earlier today to speak, and I'd like to speak on Perfect Love for Dallas if I'm given the opportunity to do that. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of agenda item number 76? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just some brief comments first. I want to personally thank Mr. Mann and his client for doing what Mr. Stitch said that they did, which was expend extraordinary time making the neighbors feel comfortable with the plan, not just talking them into a plan that they weren't going to change, but actually making changes in response to the neighbors. And that's why you see no opposition down here, despite having 60 ballots returned in opposition. With that, Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the zoning changes recommended by CPC, subject to a revised development plan and a revised landscape plan with the following changes. One, maximum dwelling unit density is 190. Two, a minimum of 7,000 square feet of at-grade open space must be provided. And three, outside of the restricted area, balconies on the northern facade of all buildings must have a solid guardrail on the northern portion of the balcony.
Thank you. We have a motion. Second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 77 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property located between Mockingbird Lane and Kinsey Drive along Denton Drive, Cedar Springs Road, and Maple Avenue, and adjacent street rights-of-way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to 6115 Denton LLC by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. The following statement is required to be read into the record. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would that individual please step forward and identify yourself?
Honorable Mayor and City Council, my name is Patrick Gobb. I live in Coppell, Texas. I am here on behalf of the applicant and am the registered professional engineer for the project. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, sir. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Medrano.
Yeah, I move to close the public hearing and approve item number 77.
Second. Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Just verifying the quorum, Mr. Mayor. Yeah,
Ms. Carraway's here.
Thank you. Agenda item number 78 is a public hearing and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol spacing requirements from a church, Oaklawn United Methodist Church, to allow a mixed beverage permit with a food and beverage certificate for a proposed restaurant without drive-in or drive-through service, Matito's, on property on the southeast corner of Cedar Springs Road and Oaklawn Avenue. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers? Again, individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. As well, your comments need to be addressed to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is David Denny, and my residence address is 6326 Fieldcrest Lane in Saxe, Texas. I am corporate counsel for Matito's and a board member of the Greater Dallas Restaurant Association. And Honorable Mayor and members of the council, we put a few pieces of material in front of you today just with regard to Matito's move to the Centrum building from its place at Ruth. Many of you are familiar with it. It's been in Dallas 21 years, and the space into which Matito's will be moving has, for about that same period of time, been a restaurant that has sold alcohol across the street from the church. So the request for the variance is simply to use the door that is on Cedar Springs as the front door of the restaurant, as opposed to the courtyard entrance as the restaurant's front door. We're available for questions. Mr. Jeff Frankel, the owner and president of Matito's, is with us today. If you have any questions for us, we're happy to answer those. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on
the
item? No further speakers. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Entertain a motion, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've had drinks at that restaurant space, and I've been to that church, and I'm not going to say which I've done more often, but move to approve the variance.
Second.
We got a motion and a second. We have Mr. Gregg second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you, Matito's.
Item number 79 is a public hearing and a resolution granting a variance to the alcoholic spacing requirements from Thomas C. Marsh Middle School, a public school, to allow a wine and beer retailer's off-premise permit for a proposed general merchandise or food store greater than 10,000 square feet, CVS Corp., on property on the southwest corner of Forest Lane and Cox Lane. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to keep the public hearing open and move this item to the January 23rd date. January 8th. Agenda meeting.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Ladies and gentlemen, we move through this.
Addendum 13.
What's that? Addendum 13. Oh, I forgot addendum 13. Excuse me. My bad. Go ahead.
Thank you. Addendum item number 13 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting amendments to tracts 2, 3, and 4 and the creation of a new tract within tract 1 of Plan Development District number 561, north of Keller Springs Road, east of Glen Abbey Drive. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I entertain a motion, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the CPC, but amending the provision that the owner, at its own expense, shall erect a traffic signal at the intersection of the Entry Point Road and Keller Springs Road, if warranted by the Texas Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices, and subject to approval by the city's traffic engineer.
Second.
Motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Please, Mr. Atkins, sit down. we moved through this pretty quick. We call for the afternoon speakers at the morning, but I was doing it mainly because I thought we were going to lose a quorum. We have a few minutes, so I'd like to call our afternoon speakers. Before we do that, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, before you do that, and thank you very much. As you know, we recognize and appreciated the veterans yesterday for Veterans Day. I want to mention that we have a gentleman here who is a veteran as well. His name is Ronnie Mestes from West Dallas, and I want to thank him because we had a Veterans Day event at the Bataan Center with the West Dallas Community Centers for the veterans from all of West Dallas. So I wanted to recognize him here and thank him, of course, as well as, thank you, as well as Pastor Butler's son. And Pastor Butler is here, as well as Ms. Hansen, but I wanted to make sure that we recognize that it was a very, very well-attended event, I must say, and there were a lot of veterans, Mr. Mayor, present at that event. So thank you very much, Mr. Mestes, along with the organizations that were involved. There were several from the West Dallas neighborhood. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Carraway?
Hey, thank you, Mayor. Let me simply say thanks and make us aware. We formulated, there has been a formulation of the Junior Dallas City Council. Mr. David Williams, he's the chairman of the Junior Dallas City Council. Each council member will be receiving an application so that you can select and appoint a person, a youngster from your district to serve on this board. His first meeting is this evening at 6:30. I put this green flyer in your chairs, and their first assignment is one of his personal goals, and it is to stuff the bus with coats. It starts it has already started October 22nd. It ends on December the 2nd. And what we've done, we've placed a school bus out front at this location, and so I'd encourage each and every one of you to stop by and stuff the bus with coats that he's going to give away for the needy during these cold days. And it's very, very unique that today that they're having the first meeting that the weather has turned cold. So let's be cognizant of it. He's 11 years old. They represent us very well, Mayor. You've met with him. He sends compliments to you. And he says he wants you to come to one of the board meetings, one of the council meetings. And if you don't come, he's going to bring the council down here.
I'm sure he will.
All right.
Thank I don't you, want to mess with Mr. Williams.
Don't mess with Mr. Williams.
Thank you. All right, first speaker. We've already heard from Mr. Lawrence.
All right, your speakers are going to consist of Marvin Crenshaw, William Hopkins, and LaCoya London. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council, will be removed from the room. You're allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Mr. Hop, sorry, Marvin Crenshaw is not present. William Hopkins. Mr. Hopkins will be followed by LaKoya London and Roy Williams.
Mr. Rollins, they're gonna get you the lawsuit. Again, you right there is what I've been giving you for the last 2 years, Mayor Rollins. So Ms. Alonzo gonna have a meeting with us. And you've been knowing we've been dying for the last 2 years. You met with the President of the United States of America, President Obama, about the health care. You've been knowing for 2 years that the city and the state sued for health care. You've been letting us die. You've been defrauding Parkland Hospital. We've been going out to Parkland, defraud them. I spoke at the county this morning. And I talked to Judge Jenkins. You and Judge Jenkins met with the President of the United States. You and Judge Jenkins know that the city of Dallas and the state of Texas sued the RSR lead smelter in the 1980s. They had a court. This is a court order. Judge Jenkins know it. I spoke at the county by 10 o'clock this morning, and I asked him about if he said anything to Mr. Obama about the health care and that the city. Sued the RSR and lied to us, told us that you didn't know nothing about it, that the city didn't have no involvement with the RSR lawsuit. And the second page, I've been doing this, sir, for 2 years to you. You've been knowing we've been dying for 2 years. I've been going over this for 2 years, Mayor Rollins. You've been knowing that African Americans have been dying in West Dallas. So we was going, Dwayne wanted, you know, us to get a lot of people together to come down to talk about the store in the many yards in the West Dallas. But I couldn't find, the people were dying and sick and on dialysis and everything, so I couldn't get too many people to come down here to talk about the store because they're dying, Mayor Rollins. And you've been knowing for 2 years, so I don't know what you're going to do when Ms. Alonzo going to have a meeting, and you've been knowing for 2 years that we've been dying. You spoke with the President. Now, this is here. You already spoke with the President. You know we're dying, but Ms. Alonzo finna have a meeting and tell us what about we dying in West Dallas. What could she tell us? You've been knowing for 2 years. You done spoke with the President. What is it that she could say to help the people that's dying and you knowing for 2 years that we've been dying, that we dying? I believe that Fred Byron and Russell Budd, they the ones sued. And so y'all let Fred Byron and Russell Budd, Lisa Blue, Dorothy Budd, the Fred Byron and Budd Law Firm, you let them get the money and the city keep the money, and you let them go out front and say they helped us with the money. And that's Russell Budd. Obama went over Russell Budd's house for that fundraiser. That's the same Russell Budd that sued for the people in West Dallas. So I'm not saying that Russell Budd paying the President of the United States not to help the blacks in West Dallas. I'm not saying that. I'm not going out. I'm not going to put myself out there like that. But that's the same Russell Budd that helped the people in West Dallas that President Obama went to his house and had a fundraiser. Thank you.
You.
Your next speaker is LaKoya London, followed by Roy Williams, Robert Ceccarelli, Dolores Phillips, and Jonathan Vance. If your name has been called, would you please come closer to the podium? That'll help facilitate the comments and the speaker portion. Again, LaKoya London, not present. Roy Williams is coming forward. Robert Ceccarelli is present. Dolores Phillips is not present, and Mr. Vance is present. Therefore, your next speaker is Roy Williams.
First of all, I'd like to say good afternoon to the council and give thanks and praise to the Creator that we're gathered here today. Hopefully, we can get something done for DJ Mannings, the little 8-year-old kid that was shot out in Lake Howland. I want to offer a congratulation to Councilman Jerry Allen. He isn't here. He did come out to the scene and pay respects to the family a couple of weeks ago. I was told I wasn't there. But, Mr. Mayor, I'm here today to appeal to you. This family is living in a hostile environment. By that, I mean this is where the kid was shot, and they were forced to live there, and they hadn't been able to get out. I feel that you have it in your authority, Mr. Mayor, to send some ambassador or some department head of housing or some scenario here from the city to help accommodate these people moving into a new environment. These poor people, they come from a humble background. They came over from Louisiana to Dallas hoping for a new life and to try to raise their kids in a safe environment. Today that has not happened. So we are struggling with trying to get the kids and the family out of this hostile environment simply because, number one, DJ is having nightmares of the event of being shot. His siblings are having concern and asking their mother, is this man going to come back and harm us? So, Mr. Mayor, I really do need you, the leader of this city, to possibly make some phone calls to some of your allies, some of your confidants, housing authority, Section 8 up in Carrollton or something, somewhere. There has to be a solution to get these people out of harm's way so that this family will not be terrorized by the past event that happened upon them without any action on that part that brought this up on them. This kid wasn't doing anything. He was going to get his bike. This man shot him. When the police asked, why did you shoot him? He said, because I wanted to. The DA been out to visit him twice. We've been in court on this bond hearing three times. Hopefully the man is still remanded in jail under the bond in which the judge set for him. But most importantly, Mr. Mayor, I'm appealing to you to help us move this family out of this vile situation that they're in. And I know you have the wherewithal to do it if you feel in the spirit of Thanksgiving, in the spirit of Christmas, and all the other great holidays that are coming up on us. So I want to thank you. God bless you. Peace be unto you.
Your next speaker is Robert Ceccarelli. Mr. Ceccarelli will be followed by Jonathan Vance.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Mayor. First thing I'd say, congratulations, Mayor, 6'3", Fairway Miles. That's about the only thing I can say. Congratulations, too. With you or without you here, you might be running for Senate. I heard Democrat is a rumor out in Dallas Observer. Sir, before you go, if you do run, I wish you had a meeting with Mike Miles and let him know there's one problem that if you can ask Miles to do, it will solve all the problems that have been going on like a big soap opera the last 2 years with him in DISD. Holding students accountable for their academics and behavior. Ms. Davis, you're a witness to this. Me and Ms. Davis were at Lincoln High School economic development meeting. I asked Mike Miles the same problem. I read out of a newspaper from a teacher about Mike Miles' 32-point plan, and the teacher said, why wasn't student behavior in it? Ms. Davis, I'm sure you recall, Mike Miles said, that's one person's opinion. That was the teacher that wrote the article, and it's been every open mic meeting that I've been to, this question has been raised to Mike Miles and refused to answer that question. Sir, it looks like you and Miles were here for political purposes only, because Mike Miles ran for Senate. He's here for agenda, for teachers, principals, and high-stakes testing. Nothing has he ever said about students holding them accountable. What Mike Miles has done is put a lot more pressure on the teachers than you ever would ever know, because the teachers are afraid of their own students, because Mike Miles has not used the press to support the teachers about the students. And he refuses to do it. And if you really want to care about the students, one, stay here and run for mayor to fulfill your commitment like Mike Miles didn't do in Colorado. And two, please have a meeting with Miles and let him know if he does this, the teachers union will probably stay off his back. John Wally Price will probably stay off his back. Juanita Wallace will probably stay off his back. I can't speak for themselves, but since I've been a critic of Mike Miles and I've been to every open mic meeting, that is the problem that he has refused to do in front of the press. Whatever the reason is, it's probably political because down in Austin, they don't talk about student behavior. They talk about principals, teachers' accountability, and high-stakes testing. But Mike Miles has never talked about this. And Mr. Medrano, I've talked to you in front of DISD, and that's been the main problem.
Mr. Treasury, talk to me.
All right, yes, sir. So I would just certainly hope that you would do this. And one more thing. Mr. Benson has wrote you several letters about DISD, about the enrollment went up, but the ACT testing numbers went down 18% in 1 year. And in Colorado, there's an investigation right now with Mike Miles, is that the enrollment went down 32% with the seniors over a six-year period, but the ACT scores went up. Mike Miles has some way to get rid of the people that know that don't know how to take a test and get them out of the district, and the students that are there stay there, is able to take a test. That's what Mike Miles does. But please meet with Mike Miles immediately. Ms. Davis, please follow up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your final speaker is Jonathan Vance.
I return to council after 3 weeks or 3 days ago, if you use council's time, to ask that as you all show concern for making the city attractive for the world in preparation for the commemoration of John F. Kennedy's life and future posterity, do not forget who you are and who you serve. Beyond the tightly controlled comments, guest speakers, and camera shots of these chambers, there's no minister, attorney, council member, officer, or judge that's sinless or more important to the city of Dallas than the people themselves. Beloved but also imperfect, you work for an imperfect people, and your task is to always conspire toward perfect love. Perfect love's a tall order to always meet, but it's worth it because there's no fear, no greed, no hate, or it does not, or at least it overcomes these things. It fears no discipline or judgment for oneself, one's city, or one's friends. It worries not about secrets or dealing with controversy among public servants privately. Perfect love was like the heart and soul of David when he faced Goliath, the faith of Daniel when he faced the lion's den. Perfect love would admit it to wrongdoing and repair what it's wrongly broken, even if it meant a whole city having to shoulder the courage of a Kennedy or Daniel and facing the world's judgment. But how often does a government of imperfect people conspire toward these things, or instead conspire out of fear to play politics, cover mistakes, or even show how citizens are wrong and the government is right? Important questions on this side of City Hall. They are, because among the thousands of servants in Dallas, errors and mistakes happen, and as our city judge said on April 3rd, in many cases, everyone in Dallas will know. And yet the people have heard council members in these chambers say that the people are the criminals, and that the people need disciplining, while many people, who can't all be wrong, see a city hall culture that needs to be, to use Councilmember Hunt's recently expressed comments in the news, more transparent, less graft-tolerating, and accepting of a records destruction policy that makes it hard to keep servants answerable to the public. Obviously, to form a more perfect union between the government and the people, all of us have to be honest about our weaknesses, converging in unity on perfect love. I realize from my own life that it's too tall of an order to ask humans at all times to have the courage of a Kennedy or a David to apologize or repair any citizen temples that's unrighteously destroyed. Therefore, I ask all governments to chart a brave new course and put on new guards for the people so that even if people in government are concerned about their jobs, the public's assessment, or keeping friends in high places looking inauthentically perfect, the government will still do right, never deceiving, never equivocating, never trying to keep the citizen weak from standing up to and bearing witness to the government powerful. Put on new guards to keep government from breaking laws or best practices to cover for their own or friends' wrongdoing, knowing that if they or their communities do these things, they have the power not to publicly prosecute themselves while their friends in secret and in public mock, intimidate, betray, deny, and abandon the known truth while sending speakers before or after to say similar things in a way that makes the truth tell seem mentally ill or ignorant by association. When practices and conspiracies like these occur against the weak and the poor, and those responsible refuse to change, it's because they suffer from a fear and imperfect love of power that's made them forget who they should be serving. This is why, as we approach the commemoration of John F. Kennedy's life, why I ask that Dallas's political, legal, and judicial communities heed my wisdom and always conspire toward perfect love. Anything else, at the end of the day, is not satisfactory. God bless you all, and God bless these United States of America.
Thank you, Mr. Vance. Meeting is adjourned, 1:53 p.m. Thank you.